The information in this skill is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Multiple Sclerosis Flash Briefings.
Hi, I'm Price Wooldridge, and you're listening to Multiple Sclerosis News Today's audio news. These are today's news highlights curated by our editorial staff. Visit our website at multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com for more relevant news and patient perspectives. Ty Sabre beats other DMTs in helping with symptoms, work, productivity. Real-world data can assist doctors and patients in selecting appropriate treatment. Ty Sabre, natalizumab, outperforms other disease-modifying therapies, or DMTs, in its ability to lessen a range of patient-reported symptoms in people with multiple sclerosis, according to data from a large real-world study. These symptoms include balance difficulties, sensory problems, feelings of anxiety, bladder problems, vision problems, and sexual dysfunction. Ty Sabre, a high-efficacy DMT, was also better at boosting work productivity and lowering absenteeism in treated patients. This new information can contribute to the decision-making process of treatment selection for neurologists and people with MS, the researchers wrote. The study, Superior Effects of Natalizumab Versus Other DMTs on Patient-Reported Outcomes in People with Multiple Sclerosis, was published in the Journal of Neurology, Neurosurgery, and Psychiatry. Biogen's Ty Sabre is an approved antibody-based treatment for relapsing forms of MS. Essentially, it acts to block the immune cells from entering the brain, thereby preventing the damaging inflammation that drives MS. Across numerous clinical trials, Ty Sabre's ability to slow disability progression and lessen disease activity has been well documented. Fewer studies have evaluated the effects of Ty Sabre on patient-reported outcomes, like quality of life, interruptions to daily activities, or workability compared with other available DMTs. Some evidence suggests that Ty Sabre may be superior to some DMTs at improving quality of life and work productivity. Now a team of researchers examined the effects of Ty Sabre against other DMTs on several patient-reported outcomes, including MS symptom severity, quality of life, disability, disease progression, and employment outcomes using real-world data. Who was included in this real-world study? They analyzed 2015 to 2017 data from the Australian MS Long Study, a survey-based study established in 2002, and that currently has more than 3,000 MS patients in Australia completing questionnaires each year. A total of 2,817 observations from 1,382 participants were included in the analysis. Participants were survey respondents reporting to the use of a DMT available for reimbursement in Australia in any of the yearly questionnaires within that 3-year period. Their mean age was 52.5 years. 81% were women, and their mean disease duration since diagnosis was 12.2 years. DMTs were grouped into 3 categories, the first being classic injectable medications like interferon beta-A1, sold as Rebif, among others, and glatiramer acetate, sold as Copaxone, among others. Category 2 included oral medications like Aubagio, teriflunomide, and Tecfidera, or dimethyl fumarate. And Category 3 encompassed high-efficacy DMTs such as Ty Sabre, Gilenya, Lemtrada, and Novantrone. Most patients were taking classic injectable DMTs, 35.3%, followed by high-efficacy DMTs other than Ty Sabre, 33.5%, oral therapies, 19%, and Ty Sabre, 12.2%. At the study's start, patients using Ty Sabre were younger, had a shorter disease duration, lower quality of life, and higher symptom severity, compared with participants on other DMTs. How did Ty Sabre compare to other DMTs? Consistent with previously reported preliminary findings, results showed that Ty Sabre was associated with greater effects over time in several MS symptoms relative to any other DMT. Specifically, the high-efficacy DMT resulted in greater reductions in patient-reported sensory symptoms, feelings of anxiety, sexual dysfunction, bladder problems, balance difficulties, and vision problems. Ty Sabre-treated patients also showed a trend toward fewer bowel problems, walking difficulties, cognitive symptoms, and lower scores in the hospital anxiety and depression scale, and lower self-assessed disease progression in the previous year. However, these differences failed to reach statistical significance. Tysabri did not, however, outperform other DMTs in its ability to lessen pain, fatigue, or spasticity. There were no differences in health-related quality of life, as assessed with the European Quality of Life with 5 dimensions, between patients on Tysabri and those using other DMTs. While health-related quality of life remained generally stable over 2 years in Tysabri-treated patients, it got worse over time in patients on Category 2 and 3 DMTs. Tysabri was also associated with greater improvements in work productivity over time relative to any other DMTs, which were largely driven by reduced absenteeism. In contrast, patients in other DMT groups saw a small rise in absenteeism over time. Importantly, Tysabri did not perform significantly worse over time compared with any other DMTs for any of the outcomes, the team wrote. These findings highlight that compared with other DMTs, Tysabri was associated with a significantly lower rate of deterioration in health and employment outcomes, the researchers wrote. The team noted among the study's limitations that the participants were slightly older, had a shorter disease duration, and higher education levels than those who did not respond to the survey, which may have influenced the results. Also, other high-efficacy DMTs like Ocrevus, which became available for reimbursement in Australia after 2015, were not included in the analysis. Nevertheless, the findings may help patients and their doctors in selecting an appropriate MS treatment, the researchers noted. Given that lost productivity represents one of the largest sources of indirect costs in MS cost of illness studies, the associated beneficial effect of Tysabri on employment outcomes should be taken into account in future cost-effectiveness analyses, the researchers wrote. This study was supported by a grant from Biogen Australia. This news article was written by Lindsay Shapiro, PhD, on August 9, 2022. Click the link in the description below to read more on this and other topics of interest on the MS News Today's website. Through the Looking Glass, a column by Beth Ulla, published on August 3, 2022. Sometimes pushing boundaries with my MS management pays off. Columnist Beth Shorthouse Ulla attends a bridal shower she won't soon forget. My brother is getting married in 2 weeks, so last weekend, I attended my future sister-in-law's bridal shower in London. When it came to managing my relapsing-remitting MS, or RRMS, on the trip, I pretty much broke every rule I live by. Surprisingly, taking risks paid off for me, which made me think that perhaps it's time for me to reevaluate things. Let's turn back the clock to last Friday. The party was in central London. We stayed at my in-law's house on the outskirts of the city, which is a 3.5-hour drive from where we live. As anyone who's had a urinary tract infection, or UTI, will know, they tend to sneak up on you quickly and mercilessly. I was happily packing in the mid-afternoon when the telltale tingling and sudden incontinence announced itself. An hour later, when we were supposed to leave, I started thinking that maybe it was a sign I shouldn't go. That was the first rule I bulldozed, though. Usually I'm right to listen to my body. Nevertheless, 2 hours later, equipped with antibiotics, which from previous experience I knew would kick in as quickly as the UTI had begun, and my trusty incontinence underwear, we were on our way. We arrived several hours later than planned, and I was tired and still uncertain if I had made the right decision. The next day, powered by modafinil and amantadine, the fatigue medications I'm experimenting with in pyramid doses, I got dolled up in a navy blue dress and red shoes. The next rule I broke was not properly planning. I generally live by my father's rule that perfect planning prevents piss-poor performance. However, I was caught up in the UTI drama and assumed that in the big city, staff at the train station must see mobility scooters all the time. I forgot to follow the requirement of requesting assistance ahead of time to get on and off the train, which you can do via a mobile app. Nevertheless, all was well, and the staff members were accommodating. Digging the Dancing Queen. The bridal shower kicked off with a cruise on a party boat down the Thames River. With the loud music, competing conversations, and outdoor heat, it quickly became clear that MS sensory overload would be an issue for me. Luckily, I kept it in check by spending much of my time on the open deck. Because I'm not as mobile these days as I'd like to be, I make a point of avoiding dancing, which for me means doing little more than what I call the dad shuffle. I find that wanting to do more than I can inevitably leads to disappointment. But this time, the bottomless bottles of Prosecco, coupled with my mother, grandmother, and aunt all on the dance floor, persuaded me to give it a try. That's the third rule I broke. The problem was that we were on a rocking boat, which rendered my walking stick useless. How these tipsy ladies, who were loving life, effortlessly danced the day away in 4-inch heels on a rocking boat is beyond me. When I finally decided to make my way to the dance floor, something truly beautiful happened. A fellow member of the party took me by the waist and whispered in my ear that she would support me, which allowed me to dance as best I could. I was taken aback by this, as I didn't even know this person. I think that sometimes the drive to be self-sufficient with a disability can make us forget that there are genuinely beautiful people in the world who want to help. When the dancing finished, we docked, disembarked, and reassembled in a local bar. Because I had only intended to have one drink with the party, before returning to my in-law's house with my husband, I had packed only one extra pair of incontinence underwear. But the drinks were flowing, the mood was light, and I didn't want to leave. Yet having no other underwear to change into, I began to say my goodbyes, which is when I broke my fourth rule. Another lady I hadn't spoken to much previously asked me why I was leaving. Without really thinking about it too much, I told her the truth, which is something I usually wouldn't do with a person I don't know. Bladder issues are something I tend to keep close to my chest. Another unexpected and heartwarming thing happened. Two of the ladies said they were going to buy me more so that I wouldn't have to leave. I was so moved. Since my RRMS diagnosis, I have never been in a group of people, especially people I didn't know, and felt so included. Sometimes the saying, "rules are meant to be broken," is bang on the money. Upon reflection, perhaps if we don't occasionally challenge our rules and boundaries, how else will we grow? To read more columns from Beth Ulla and our other contributors, visit our website at multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. Follow the link in the description below. This is MS News Today's audio news. Subscribe to our channel to never miss an episode. And if you're listening on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts, hit save. Thanks for tuning in.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to Multiple Sclerosis News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. And be sure to follow us on social media and join our Multiple Sclerosis News Today forums, a trusted MS community ready to welcome you anytime.